ABC Radio Australia.
Well, thousands of foreign workers will be allowed into Australia under a new agricultural visa that's aimed at filling a major shortage in the sector. The new visa is expected to start next month when new regulations will come into place and will be administered by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. It was unveiled yesterday by the Agricultural Minister, David Lilleproud.
We're looking at Southeast Asian countries and getting those countries that we already have close ties and close immigration ties with, such as Philippines, Thailand, Vietnam, Singapore. But we're looking beyond that into Korea. And obviously the UK will also be part of this because that was the catalyst in which we were able to start the negotiations of getting the free trade agreement and subsequent this ag visa.
Details of how the scheme will work are scarce at the moment, but already there's concerns it could undermine the Pacific Seasonal Worker Program, which has brought thousands of workers from the region to work on Australia's farms and horticulture sector. Pat Conroy is Australia's Shadow Minister for International Development and the Pacific and joins me now down at the line. Firstly, this new agricultural visa is being pitched by the government as a structural approach to solving Australia's labour shortage, but what is your reaction to this visa?
I'm very worried by this visa. I think this visa has the huge potential to undermine both the seasonal worker program and the Pacific labour scheme. These are critical elements of the Pacific step up, and they're critical to the long-term economic future of the Pacific. And both of them will be undermined by an agricultural visa that's a massive victory for the National Party at the expense of our broader national interest.
Now, over the past year, we have seen Pacific countries ramp up the number of workers they're sending to Australia. Is this move going to see those gains lost because of this new visa?
Absolutely. The Agricultural Minister, David Lilleproud, has already said that this visa won't have the protections that the seasonal worker program has. That means that farmers, particularly unscrupulous farmers, are going to choose to source labour from the ag visa countries rather than using the seasonal worker program. So that'll lead to exploitation of people from ASEAN countries and will deny that huge economic opportunity for Pacific workers.
Now, on that particular thing, the government's Pacific step up, is this potentially seen as a backward step that, and it's not really in the interest of the Pacific and has gained a lot of reaction from the Pacific itself?
Oh, I've met with many diplomats from the Pacific Island nations, and they're very worried by the impact of this. The Pacific Labour Scheme, and in particular the Seasonal Worker Program, are critical parts of the Pacific Step Up. They're critical ways that Australia can partner with the Pacific Island region for the economic development. The money being sent home from Pacific Island workers makes a massive difference to the lives of them, their families and their broader community, and that is all being undermined by the agricultural visa.
And it was something that you touched on before, but one of the big, I would say, concerns of this potential visa that is meant to replace the holiday and backpacker visa is that it's open to the high exploitation of workers. In your mind, what safeguards need to be built into this new visa to potentially prevent that exploitation?
Well, at a minimum, it should have the same safeguards that the seasonal worker program has. That's something that the government has said won't apply. And I'm worried that both the combination of lower protection and secondly the carrot of permanent residency that this program offers means that workers will be exploited either because they've got less protections or, quite frankly, they decide it's worth 3 years of exploitation and misery to try and get permanent residency in Australia. So it needs to be as safe as and protected as the seasonal worker program. But to be quite frank, there's a broader issue here is we should be sourcing our seasonal work and our agricultural work from the Pacific. These nations are critical partners of ours. We want to be the partner of choice into that region. It's a region where a third of the community live on less than US$1.90 a day. We should be sourcing our workers from that region, not from middle-income countries such as Singapore and Malaysia. So there's a fundamental philosophical issue as well as the broader issues around safeguards and protections.
Well, one of the issues as well is that this particular visa, although the information is quite scarce, one of its key points is that it potentially opens the way for permanent residency. Now, in your mind, does this potentially seem a bit unfair as the Pacific seasonal workers don't have the same access or potentially the same option as is given in this new visa?
Yeah, well, it smacks of double standards. If we're going to have a worker from Tonga or Vanuatu on an Australian farm under a seasonal worker program and they've got no pathway to permanent residency, why is it fair for someone from Singapore or Malaysia? So that's one point. And then there's a broader point around the exploitation, the combination of lower protections and the ability for employers to dangle the carrot of permanent residency, potentially driving these workers to be exploited. So there are really inconsistencies with this agricultural visa. It is not coherent. It undermines a key diplomatic initiative of Australia, and it just represents a victory for Barnaby Joyce and the National Party over Foreign Minister Maurice Payne in the cabinet. It's a move that Julie Bishop fought very successfully when she was Foreign Minister, and it's clear that Maurice Payne lost the arm wrestling cabinet, and Australia's national interest, our standing in the Pacific, and the economic potential of the Pacific have all suffered as a result.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Pat Conroy, Australian opposition politician and Shadow Minister for Pacific and International Development. Now, while the Pacific Seasonal Worker Scheme has often been praised by growers, participants and the government more broadly, we do hear complaints about its high maintenance and heavy regulation, and it is a bit unwieldy, some people do say. In your mind, with the conversations around the new ag visa, is it time for the Seasonal Worker Scheme and the Seasonal Worker Program to potentially look at reform?
There are things that can be done to make it to have less red tape and to make it more attractive to employers, absolutely. And there's a review going on right now by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade and the Department of Education. So there are definite improvements that can be done to make it more attractive. But there are other things that will need to be improved around compliance and the use of labour hire to crack down on the unfortunate cases of exploitation that do occur, like the instances of labour hire companies exploiting workers, packing them into rental accommodation and charging outrageous rents is something else that needs to be worked on. So it's not a one-way street of just reducing red tape. We need to make sure that the regulatory burden is appropriate, but ultimately that employers can access the scheme easily. Because when I meet with farmers, they make the point that they love the seasonal worker program because unlike, for example, backpacker visas, the workers from the Pacific are there to do a job. They work hard, they earn income that they send back to their homes in the Pacific, and they're very motivated, whereas the backpacker visa, and I fear the agricultural visa, they'll be mainly motivated by either having a holiday in the country or getting a pathway to permanent residency.
Now, there are talks that this potential agricultural visa will be in motion from September, which is only mere days away. But an issue that is being faced currently, of course, is quarantine and quarantining workers. There's a limited space for thousands of Australians who want to return home. Should these problems potentially be looked at first before they think of bringing thousands of workers from Asian countries or whichever countries are signed up to the program under this new agricultural visa?
Well, the Australian government has failed. The Australian government has failed to establish a national quarantine system to handle the COVID crisis. And that's obviously why we've got the massive Delta outbreak in Australia right now. And they've also failed to get tens of thousands of Australians home, which should be a key priority. But we also have to recognise that farms do face significant workforce shortages, farming groups and state governments have been working with Pacific Island nations to accelerate the number of Pacific Island workers that are coming across, and I think about 5,000 are due in the next few months. So my view is that we should be prioritising bringing Australians home safely and prioritising Pacific Island workers entering under the Seasonal Worker Program and the Pacific Labour Scheme, because those schemes, albeit with a few flaws, are working. They're providing good workers for our farms. They're providing good training and experience for Pacific Island workers, and they're providing strong streams of income back to Pacific Island nations that have been devastated by COVID. And that should be our priority rather than helping implement an agricultural visa for countries like Singapore and Malaysia.
Now, Pat Conroy, where to from here, though? It looks like the wheels are turning on this agricultural visa. It doesn't look like there's much turning back from it. So, you know, in the position that you are, what kind of assurances or what would you like to tell Pacific Island nations who are looking upon what's happening right now with a bit of fear and with uncertainty about what it means for their people and for the Pacific in terms of the Pacific seasonal worker scheme?
Well, what I can say to Pacific Island workers and the Pacific Island communities is that the Australian Labor Party, the alternative government, will be closely scrutinising this scheme. We will be trying to make sure that it does not undermine the seasonal worker program and the Pacific Labor scheme. And I wanted to assure the Pacific Island nations that the Labor Party remains committed to the Pacific step up, that we see the seasonal worker program and the PLS as key parts of that step up, and that should we form the next government, we will be closely examining all these arrangements to make sure that the seasonal worker program and the Pacific Labor Scheme are the key programs to deal with workforce shortages in the agricultural industry and as key ways of economic advancement for Pacific Island nations. The Labor Party is really committed to the Pacific and will be holding the government to account for their failures in that area.
Pat Conroy, thank you so much for your time and for joining Pacific Beat this morning.
Thank you. Have a great morning. Bye-bye.
You too. That was Pat Conroy, Australian opposition politician and shadow minister for Pacific and International Development. A new agricultural visa for Australia has been criticised for posing a direct threat to Vanuatu and other Pacific nations who send thousands of workers each year to help pick fruit on Australian farms. After being talked about for years, the plans for the new visa were revealed in June, but official confirmation only came yesterday. It aims to get thousands of foreign farm workers into Australia to fill labour shortages that have been made worse by the COVID crisis, and it's targeting people from 10 Southeast Asian nations. That's a move which is being seen as creating unfair competition for the Pacific, as Catherine Grau reports.
Australian farmers have struggled to find enough workers at harvest time for years. But as Queensland politician Susan McDonald points out, the situation's been made all the worse by border closures caused by COVID-19.
$42 million in crops that have rotted on trees and in paddocks.
That's just in Senator McDonald's state of Queensland, but it's a problem being repeated around the country.
Australia simply won't take these jobs, and farmers have been very patient, and they can be patient no longer.
David Littleproud is Australia's agriculture minister. More than 10,000 Pacific Islanders have arrived in Australia over the past year to help, but he says there's still a huge gap.
Just from horticulture alone is around a 30,000 shortfall by March next year. And that doesn't take into account the other agricultural sectors such as grains, even in our beef and dairy industries, and then obviously the meat processing sector. Most of our meat processing sectors are running around 60 to 70% capacity at the moment because they simply don't have the people to do the jobs.
Mr. Littleproud says the Australian government's new visa will target workers from Australia's close neighbours, for those to the northwest rather than the east.
We're obviously trying to accelerate those with countries that we have long-standing immigration relationships with, such as Philippines, Thailand, Vietnam.
The visa will be in place in late September, but Minister Littleproud says it's not known when the first workers might actually arrive.
I'm probably a glass half full sort of guy. I'm hoping not long after 30 September if we can get some of these bilaterals under control. But they're out of our control in some respects, because those countries obviously have their own sovereignty and their own right to decide whether they allow their people to sign up to this.
Australia's COVID-19 quarantine rules will still need to be followed, which could limit the number of workers that arrive and how quickly. And it'll depend on each state and territory to make their own arrangements. But Vanuatu MP John Sulong, who used to work as an agent for seasonal workers, is worried about the impact of the new visa system.
Allowing the agriculture visa for Southeast Asian workers to come in is going to be a direct threat. It's going to really potentially damage the relationship that has been built over time. From the Vanuatu perspective, that we are very concerned that now Australia is bringing in Asian workers into the horticultural sector, which is a direct competition with the Pacific Seasonal Workers Program, which we have built over the years.
Mr. Salong argues that the higher price tag to get Pacific workers into Australia, especially during COVID-19, will mean that Australian employers will look to Asia first.
It is a concern because we know very well that the cost factors from the Asian countries are usually much cheaper than the Pacific Island countries. For example, in these COVID-19 days, the fact that quarantine costs are very high, there's hardly any flights. So the planes going from Vanuatu, for example, are very expensive.
Queensland farmer Carl Walker has recruited Pacific workers and he agrees that it's just too expensive under the current conditions.
The federal government really should be, since Corona came in, should be putting their hands in their pocket and assisting these people more to get here because they're relying on farmers to pay for everything and we cannot. We cannot pay for everything. If we keep paying you know, after $5,000 a person to get them in Australia, we're going to go broke.
But Australia's Agriculture Minister David Littleproud says the new visa and the two Pacific labour schemes will be able to work side by side.
It also supplements and complements the Pacific schemes that are in place at the moment.
Australia recently announced plans to double the number of Pacific workers coming in over the next 8 months, with 12,500 new recruits expected to make the trip.
There's nothing stopping the over 25,000 men and women through those seasonal Pacific schemes coming in. This is also going to skilled and semi-skilled workers, not just unskilled workers, this new ag visa. And it's broadly right across agriculture, not just horticulture. So this is a little bit broader. It'll complement and supplement the Pacific schemes, but a huge structural change.
Samoa's new Prime Minister, Fiamme Naomi Mataafa, is less concerned about the new visa.
At the moment, especially with the impact of COVID on the economy and people's livelihoods, we're very thankful that these schemes can be taken up by our nationals, to give them livelihood. It's an Australian government determination. You know, as long as there are opportunities for our seasonal workers to come to Australia, then, you know, I at this point don't have any serious concerns.
But there may be concerns down the track. The new visa will offer those temporary workers who take it up a pathway to permanent Australian residency, something that's never been on offer to workers from the Pacific. The Agriculture Minister, David Littleproud, is offering little in the way of reassurance to the regional workforce.
This goes to the heart of the structural adjustment that we're looking at. We're also bringing in the next generation of migrants to grow regional Australia and to grow agriculture.
A future generation of migrant workers from Asia could impact on the need for Pacific workers in years to come. And John Salong in Vanuatu is worried.
It's going to be a very sad day for Vanuatu because we know a lot of investment has been made in building good relationships between workers and farmers, between workers and communities in Australia, and between communities in Australia and Vanuatu. And we were hoping that this would continue into the future.
Vanuatu MP John Salong, who's previously worked as an agent for seasonal workers coming to Australia, ending that report from Catherine Grau.